Hey, this is Ryan Dice, and in this training on Facebook ad power, I'm going to show you how to harness the power of Facebook ads, as the name would suggest. And this is one of these kind of untapped but massive traffic sources that for some reason the marketing world has, it's kind of a nut that the marketing world has yet to crack. So we've been out there, we've been doing a lot of testing with this over the last year or so. It's changed a bunch, it'll probably continue to change, but this is what's working now. We're going to talk about the things that are working now. Yes, we expect some things to change, obviously that's why we update trainings like this, and we will keep you updated on this one. But for now, let's go ahead and dive in and talk about what we're going to cover. Number one, we're going to talk about why now is the best time to start using Facebook to promote you, your products, or services. How to laser target your audience with Facebook ads. That's a biggie. I mean, the targeting that Facebook enables is unprecedented in the online space. Show you how to create winning ads that fit inside Facebook's terms of service, and that's a biggie because Facebook is actually more militant than Google. And how to create landing pages that work with Facebook ads. We're also going to talk about bidding and budgeting strategies, and there's another section on advanced strategies that I know you're really, really, really going to love. So let's talk about Facebook and kind of why Facebook matters and why this is even important. In case you hadn't heard, Facebook is one of the fastest growing sites on the internet. Just recently, as I'm recording this, they passed their 400 millionth user. That means there are literally more people on Facebook. There are more people out there with Facebook accounts in the world than there are people in the United States of America. And the United States of America is not a small country. And yet, you know, if Facebook were out there, it would be larger than the US. Pretty amazing stuff. In fact, Facebook gets 39 billion page views per month, more than any other website on earth, including Google. So if you're out there only advertising with Google AdWords, you're actually missing a much larger source of traffic that actually has better targeting than Google. Think about that for a minute. Now you got to be asking yourself, why the heck haven't I been doing this? Why haven't I heard about it? I don't know. That's what we're trying to change. Fact number two, Facebook only has an estimated 1/20th of the advertisers of Google. Okay, so think about that. While Google is a smaller pond, it actually has 20 times, this is just an estimate, but 20 times the number of advertisers that Facebook. That means less competition. Now, I don't know how long that's going to last. It may be another 6 months, maybe 12 months, maybe 5 years before the number of advertisers that are in that have figured out Google figure out Facebook. We know it will happen, but for now it is an absolute goldmine. Fact number three, Facebook lets you target only the customers most likely to buy your products or services, which means less waste, and we'll talk about that when we get to targeting. Fact number four, Facebook is the future of online advertising with over 400 million registered users worldwide. We talked about that a little bit. Fact number five, Facebook just opened most user profiles to public search, which basically added over a billion pages to the search engine. So what that means for you is more traffic. Now there's a lot of pages that are inside of Facebook profiles that are going to be accessible. They're going to be searchable by Google. Those Facebook profile pages will show ads. And so when people go there, you have an opportunity to get additional traffic. Fact number six, Facebook is very protective of their user experience, maybe even more than Google. And this is kind of the bad news. And this is what we're going to spend the bulk of this training talking about, is how to fit your message within the Facebook framework. Because if you deviate from it, they're going to slap you, and they're going to slap you hard. So let's get started. First off, I want to talk about how Facebook is different. Number one, Facebook is display advertising. It is display marketing. It is not search-based marketing. And that's biggie, because if you've only ever done Google AdWords, then this is going to be a little bit different from you. So this is search pay-per-click. You can imagine if you went to Google and let's say you searched for the term casket. I realize that's kind of a bleak term, but if you were searching for the term casket, here are all the different people who are out there selling caskets on the internet. And it's a very targeted search. They know that if you're out there searching for caskets, that you're probably looking to buy a casket. But because it's so targeted, there's a ton of competition. Now, Facebook is more like, if you're familiar with Google, with the Google Content Network, that's more what Facebook is like. Facebook's a lot more like the Content Network. And when you get right down to it, what Facebook is really like is, let me see if I can change the slide here. There you go. Facebook is really like old school magazine advertising. So here's a magazine ad that I snapped out of a Popular Mechanics. And you can see here, this person's running an ad on how to save up to 50% on heating costs by doing these little kind of energy, these little private personal little heating areas. And it's embedded in an article in which you could see, you know, there's people up here, there's text up here, there's more to a generator than wattage. You know, so this whole article is related to generators and energy and alternative energy. So to have this ad in here is very, very contextual. So in a sense, this is old school advertising at work, and this is really what Facebook is getting us back to. But it can be very, very, very effective. And here's why this distinction between search and context is so important. These are some of the reasons why people use Facebook. And look at these, okay? So the number one reason people use Facebook is to see what their friends are up to. That makes sense, right? They may want to send messages. They may want to update their profile, look at profiles of people they don't know, search for people they used to know, like, hey, what happened to that old high school girlfriend? You know, those kinds of things. Send friends connection requests, listen to music, read blogs and journals, you know, write on other people's profile pages, watch a video. Now, if you notice, one of the things that you don't see on this page, what do you not see on this page? Why? What is one of the reasons that's not listed? Well, notice that nobody said they come to Facebook to buy your stuff. Okay? That didn't happen. That's not why people come to Facebook. Now, I contrast that to Google. With Google, if somebody will go and they'll type in a phrase like caskets or buy caskets or something like that. There are buyer phrases. There are seekers and searchers out there on Google. They exist. You are not going to get that kind of traffic from Facebook. I'll say that again. You will not get buyer-seeker traffic on Facebook. So this is a different animal from Google. I'm not saying that the traffic isn't targeted, because it is. I'm not saying that the traffic doesn't convert, because it does. I'm just saying that it's different from what you're used to, and we need to account for that. So your mission is to create relevant, appealing ads that still get the sale. So despite the fact that people aren't actively looking for you, despite the fact that this is, whether some people want to admit it or not, this is somewhat interruptive marketing, you still need to be able to create relevant and appealing ads that get the sale. Now, here's why this is easier said than done. See, the difference, another difference between Facebook and Google is that on Facebook, everyone gets a vote. Now, there are these two areas. So this is an ad on Facebook that would normally appear. And so this is an example of a Facebook ad. You can see over here, this is actually my Facebook. You can see there it is right there. You can see my name kind of, I'm not trying to hide it. That was just a screenshot that I took. But so this was my Facebook profiles area. And you can see that an ad for car insurance is showing up. Not particularly targeted, but I do own a car. So I guess it's somewhat relevant. But look at this right here. You see right here where it has this little thumbs up and it says like? Now, if I were to check that box and say I like it, Facebook would probably show me more ads related to car insurance. So they might give this ad a bump in their ratings, in their little Facebook quality scoring ratings, which we're going to talk about. But do you see this X? Now, fortunately, the X is not as noticeable as the like button, but there is still this little X over here. If somebody clicks on this X, this box right here pops up. So it says, why didn't you like this ad? And you get to choose your reason. Maybe you felt the ad was misleading or offensive or uninteresting or irrelevant or just repetitive. Or maybe you give no reason at all. The point is, if somebody says that they don't like your ad, then eventually Facebook is going to crap on that ad. Your ad will not show up any longer. You may, if it's too egregious, if you get a lot of misleading or offensives, you may lose your Facebook account altogether. So this is why with Facebook, it always mattered. Look, I mean, you should have always cared about what your customers thought, about what people thought in your ad. And that's why you never want to do misleading ads. I don't care if you're advertising in the newspaper, magazines, Google, whatever. You never want to do any kind of misleading or offensive ad. But on Facebook, if you mess up, even if it's accidental, you get popped because they do have this user feedback setting built right into it. So that's why it matters. That's why Facebook is so incredibly different. And that's why in this training, we're going to spend so much time talking about how to create the right kinds of ads and how to do the right kind of targeting and how to do everything that fits within Google's framework. But at the same time, while fitting within Google's framework, obviously, you need to make a buck. You need to make some money. So that's what we're going to talk about. Now, Facebook is not, we kind of talked about Facebook and its downsides, but it is not without its upsides. And frankly, the upsides are only going up and up. Number one, Facebook gives you an incredible amount of data. I mean, an incredible amount of data. So take this person right here. Her name is Teresa. I've blocked out all of her actual personal information. But look at this. It tells us all of her interests right here, what they are. It tells her favorite music, favorite TV shows, favorite movies, favorite books. I mean, literally, you can advertise on all of these things. You'll see when we get into targeting. But look at the amazing amount of data that Facebook has collected. Now, why would somebody give this much data to Facebook? You know, people have given way more data to Facebook than they probably would give to their bank or definitely to Google. And the reason they do that is because Facebook encourages it. Facebook says, hey, tell us who your favorite TV shows are so we can maybe match you up with other people who also like those TV shows. We can make other friend recommendations to you because, like you, they're really into Xena, Warrior Princess. You know, those kinds of things. Or like you, they really like the movie Brokeback Mountain. You know, I mean, so all these different things, they can match you up. So that's why people give such an incredible amount of data, such an incredible amount of information. And we get to use this data as advertisers. Facebook also has groups and communities built into this. And if you're involved in Facebook, then this is nothing new to you. There are hundreds of thousands of different groups out there. And as a Facebook advertiser, you can say, look, I want to advertise to everybody who's in the web strategy group. Now, the web strategy group, I know it's kind of small, you probably can't see this, but the web strategy group happens to have 4,056 members. So if you sell a product that's related to online marketing or web development, then here's a group that may very well be of interest to you that has 4,056 members. Now, is 4,056 people a lot? No, it's not, but it's ultra, ultra targeted. You know that those people thought enough about online marketing to join the web strategy group. Pretty cool, right? Another really, really neat thing that Google's doing, and this is brand spanking new, okay? Google is moving right now. I keep calling it Google. I'm sorry, Facebook. I got to get out of the Google mode. We all need to get out of the Google mode. Okay, another really cool thing that Facebook is doing is they've always had Facebook messages. So you can send messages to all your friends in Facebook, but they're switching over to a new format that they're calling Titan Email. It's their Titan Email platform. I don't know why they're calling it Titan, but that's what they're calling it. So Google is switching over, and instead of just having messages, they're creating an actual email client inside of Facebook. And I said Google again before, didn't I? Okay, I need to stop doing that. Facebook is creating an email client, which means that they're going to be out there competing with the likes of Gmail and Yahoo. And more than likely, the second that Facebook launches this, they're going to be the number three email client out there. Now, why does this matter to you? Well, if you're a Facebook user, then that'll be kind of cool, but check this out. So here's Facebook and their email client, and what are these right here? That's right. These are ads. So just like Google has Gmail ads, Facebook is going to have ads inside of all these emails, and they're going to be contextually driven as well. So this will be a huge, huge upside and a huge boon for advertisers. This is why, again, and this is going to come up time and time again, now is the time to get in on Facebook advertising. Now is when the competition is the fewest, and now if you can really get in and make Facebook work as they continue to grow, as they continue to add new features, as they continue to put ads in new and exciting places, you're going to be the beneficiary of those. Okay, so now that we talked about kind of the benefits of Facebook advertising and how it's different from Google and some of the other forms of advertising, let's get into the actual process of setting up a Facebook ad campaign. Now, step one of setting up a Facebook ad campaign is ad creation. So just like Google, they want you to create your ad first. And just like Google, I think that's kind of a shame. I would much rather do my targeting first and then create the ad. But I'm going to show this to you in the order that Google does it so that there are no surprises, okay, whenever you get there. You understand that, number one, we need to get the ad figured out. And I actually recommend that as opposed to going in and building everything in the Facebook interface, I recommend that you actually write everything out ahead of time so that you're ready moving forward. And that's actually what Facebook recommends too. So let's talk about creating your Facebook ad. Number one, and this is a biggie, your ads must engage the Facebook users. And again, that's because they're not actively searching for you. People don't log into Facebook saying, ooh, cool, what can I buy today? They don't go to Facebook searching for stuff. People go to Facebook for a social experience. And similar to TV or magazines, when you are showing your ads, yes, they may be relevant. They may be demographically targeted, psychographically targeted. It doesn't mean that they're not relevant. It just means that they're not looking for you. So that's why your ads do need to reach out and grab them. But they need to do this without being too slick. So that's always kind of the balance that you're having to walk. And if you create an engaging ad, but it's too engaging, it's too slick, then eventually that's going to get the X mark and eventually it's going to get the boot. So we're going to talk about kind of the do's and don'ts of ads, but first I want to show you the ad creation form itself. And as you can see, this is incredibly, incredibly simple. All you need to do, and again, if you've used Google, then this will be somewhat familiar to you. As you fill in the areas over here, it builds it over here on this page, on this side over here, so you can see your ad actively going. So all you want to do is you want to put in your URL in this line. You put your title, which is your headline, and like Google, you're limited. I forget the exact limitation in Google, but in this case, I think it's 35 characters. Facebook, you only have 25 characters in your title. That's pretty small, so you want to make sure that you have a good, compelling title. Now, in your body text, you actually get a lot more space. Now, you may not want to use all 135 characters. Some people don't. I see a lot of Facebook ads that are very effective that are fairly short in the body text. The point is that you don't necessarily need to use it all. You just want to make sure it's compelling. And then the image. You absolutely, positively want to have an image. I've seen Facebook ads that don't have images. I mean, here's the deal. We've never once run a test, and we have tested it. We have never once run a test where a Facebook ad without an image beat a Facebook ad, an exact same Facebook ad with an image. Okay? So images across the board continuously boost response. Even bad images will give you a bump. So let's talk about kind of the nuances of this. The first thing that you want to keep in mind, and I'm going to start with the image first, because really the image in this case actually is the most important element. The image is actually more important than the headline. I mean, the order of importance, you got the image, which is number one, you got the headline, which is two, and then you got the body text, which is three. So the image is very, very, very important. And, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the phrase muffin top or not. In case you're not, muffin top is this little thing right here where the belly pooch hangs over the waist. But for women in the 25 to 45 age group, who are, again, 25 to 45 females, this picture right here speaks 1,000 words. This picture is instantly grabbing. And so another thing that they do, so the image is there, the image speaks, oh my gosh, you know, I know exactly what that's all about, I'd like to, you know, lose my muffin top. And then they actually, in case you didn't know what it was, they have some words inside the image, and you are allowed to do that. You can get a little extra mileage from your image by putting some words in it. You can't overdo it, but a short little descriptor like this, almost like a caption, is absolutely allowed. But the big thing that I want you to note with the headline, or the title, is the question. Muffin top? In our tests, having a question, and again, a lot of the same rules that apply with Google AdWords apply over here. Questions and having question marks in there, they're far more likely to click, to get clicks. And then you see here, this in this case, this is a very, very short ad. Remember, they had 135 characters. They probably didn't use half of them. Read and learn how you can shrink your waist. Now notice, while this isn't a very specific promise, I would like to see a more specific promise. So, you know, learn one simple movement that can shrink your waist in only 8 minutes a day. That would be a more specific thing. Either way, this phrase right here promises some content. Read and learn how you can shrink your waist, and then that takes them over to the content page. So there's a promise made here. So here's kind of the formula, okay? The headline asks a question. The image is grabbing, and it grabs their attention, and it instantly connects with them. It tells people, yes, that's for me. So it needs to walk that fine line between, you know, grabbing them by the throat and making them look, but not crossing the line to where it becomes offensive. And then down here, this needs to make a promise. And you're going to see when we talk more about this, how we use this model over and over and over again. Now, here's six rules, ad creation rules. Number one, headlines are usually questions. We really like to do that. We don't always do questions in our headlines, but time and time again, this is our control. This is what we come back to. This is what works the best. Again, the image needs to tell the story. It needs to tell the story and it needs to grab attention. It's kind of doing double duty there. A lot of times you'll see people, you'll see ads that all they do is grab the attention. And that's good, but if the ad is totally unrelated to the text, or if it's kind of only slightly related, you're not going to have the impact. And if it's completely unrelated to the ad, then eventually that ad's going to get canned by Google. So this is an interesting thing that we tested and found to be the case. Smiling faces. If you can do a smiling face in an image, that tends to get more clicks than no face at all. So in the example that we showed right here with Muffin Top Girl, come back here. There we go. So in this example right here, a smiling face may not be appropriate, right? Because they're kind of trying to tell the story of somebody who might be frustrated with their weight. But nevertheless, a face of some sort we found has better results than just showing somebody's waist or just a section like that. Use text on your images, but do it carefully. So you can use text if you're really trying to call out, if there's a particular keyword phrase that you know is going to be relevant to your market, then you can use that in there. Now, Facebook, like Google, does have restrictions in terms of trademarks and copyrights. And one of the ways that you can get around that, and so I'm going to give you this tip, but then tell you not to do it, right? You can get around the whole trademark issue by putting the words in your image. That will get you around it for a short period of time, and depending on, you know, your market, it may or may not give you a boost in clicks. I don't suggest that you do it, because eventually the folks at Facebook will see it, and if it is a trademark term that's well known, then they'll eventually come and ban your ad, and you're going to be on the bad side of Facebook. So don't do that. But other words, like, you know, the Muffin Top example before, or if there's just some type of keyword phrase that you know is really going to reach out and grab your people, feel free, drop it into your image as a little caption like they did there. The body text also should make one promise, and I'm a big, big believer in this. And in the example before, it made a promise. It said read and learn how to, you know, get a thinner waist, but it wasn't specific enough. If the more specific you can get in there, and again, we're going to show you an example of a better Facebook ad later on, but the more specific that you can get and in making just one big promise, promising one big thing, the better off you're going to be. And then here's a biggie. That promise that you make in the ad needs to be delivered immediately on the landing page. So we're going to talk more about landing page at the end, because remember, I'm going in the order that Facebook has it set out. We're going to talk about ad creation, targeting, bidding, and landing pages. But the promise that you make in the ad must be delivered on the landing page. You cannot tell people that you're going to give them, you know, the one big tip that shows them how to lose 15 pounds in 15 days, and then when they get to the landing page, there's no tip to be found. It's just a sales letter. You can't do that. People will go back, they will click the X mark, and you'll be done. Now, here's some big Facebook ad no-nos based on their terms of service. And some of these are a little nitpicky, a little persnickety, but it's important that you get it right the first time. Number one, you need to use upper and lowercase letters properly. If you go in there and put some words in all caps or try to do your ad in all caps, it will be denied. You also need to have good spelling and grammar, and this includes punctuation. You also can't use slang words and things like that. Google, it's like our ninth grade English teacher, right? They really want us to do everything by the book, properly, correctly, and, you know, they don't want you deviating from it at all. And actually, I have had ads decline because I had my ad, and the ad was two sentences, and so it was a line here, period. And then it picks up right here, and I just forgot to have a space in between the period and where the next sentence began. I just simply forgot to hit the space bar, and that ad was declined because of not having a space between a period and the beginning of the next sentence. That's how persnickety they are, but you know it ahead of time, you need to get it right. You also can't write incomplete thoughts. A lot of times it can be an interesting strategy in Google to kind of have your ad not really end, or to have your headline, you know, where your headline starts a thought and the bottom ad finishes it. Facebook doesn't want you to do that. Your headline, your title needs to be one thought, complete, and then down below needs to be another one. You can't do the starting to write, dot, 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 and have it finish up below. that does not jive in Facebook. You can get away with it in Google, and it's actually quite effective in Google, but it will not work in Facebook. The same is true with the body copy itself. You can't have the little, you know, dot, dot, dot to where they want to click on it and the thought completes on your landing page. Again, that can be an effective strategy for getting click-throughs in emails, and it can even work in Google AdWords. It does not work in Facebook. You must complete your thoughts. You can't have any BS discounts, and this should be, you know, fairly obvious. This isn't something that, you know, hopefully this isn't something you're doing anyway, but you can't tell people that they're getting a discount, and then when they get to the page, it's not there. Use of irrelevant images is a big no-no, and I see this all the time in Facebook, and you're going to see it too, so you're going to assume, oh, these guys are getting away with it, so I can too. Listen, those guys probably aren't getting away with it. Those guys are probably setting up multiple Facebook accounts and are doing all kinds of black hat stuff, and eventually they're going to get caught and banned for life. So when you see, you know, an example of, you know, somebody selling books and there's a picture of a half-naked, you know, girl in the ad, don't think that you can do that, all right? Your image can be thought-provoking, it can be attention-grabbing, but it still needs to be relevant. Nothing at all can be offensive, okay? And this, you may be like, oh, of course, Ryan, obviously. But, again, I'm talking to those of you out there who are watching this who are familiar with writing Google AdWords ads. Because a lot of people write Google AdWords ads saying, you know, this thing sucked. Or, you know, I hated this. And they write very kind of shock and awe ads. You know, the kind of ads that are like, whoa, and they, you know, they grab you and they make you take a step back, but you notice them, right? I mean, that's the whole if it bleeds, it leads rubbernecker effect. Facebook will not allow this at all. You have to largely be positive and upbeat. I mean, I know it sounds kind of silly, but, you know, you can't say things like, hey, fatty, to try to draw people's attention. Again, you can get away with that in Google. You know, one of our longest running ads when we were running anti-smoking, you know, quit smoking products, one of our top running ads in Google AdWords was, hey, ashtray breath. You cannot run, hey, ashtray breath in Facebook. Trust me, they will stop it. Ask me how I know. So Facebook, in that sense, they are different from Google. In that sense, they're a lot harder and a lot tighter than Google. So you cannot be offensive. You also can't use abbreviations or symbols at all. You can't go, you can't replace, let's see, the number, you know, if you want to say four does not equal four, and two does not equal two. They will not let you do stuff like that. So you need to write out words completely. And if you don't have space, they're not, unlike Google, they're not going to allow abbreviations. Now, I know this all seems really, really, really harsh, but the good thing about this is one of the reasons that Facebook has 1/20th of the competition that Google has. Okay, so I know it seems harsh, but it's actually a good thing. It's keeping a lot of your competitors at bay, and a lot of your competitors who don't have this training, they're going to go out there and they're going to have, you know, incomplete thoughts, and, you know, they're not going to get their spelling right, and they're going to try to do all caps, and they're going to try to use, you know, symbols for words and things like that, and Facebook's going to tell them no, and they're just going to go, ah, forget it, I'm not going to try Facebook. If you get this right the first time, you'll never have the problem, and you'll be the one who gets all the traffic. Okay, so ad writing rule of thumb number one, be conservative, especially in the beginning. You really, and kind of, I take two paths with this when I'm writing my ad. I either write a very blatant, obvious ad, an ad that says, you know, hey, I'm selling this, right? So if we're selling an ad for, if we're running an ad for Forex traders, then the ad will be Forex Signal Service. You know, subscribe to our, get a 30-day trial to our Signal Service, to our Forex Signal Service over here, and we'll link it over there. So I'll either be very, very, very obvious, or like the model that we've already suggested, I'll ask a question in the title, promise an answer in the body, and then answer it on the landing page. And again, I'm going to show you examples of all of this later. Ad writing rule thumb number two, you want to tweak ads. Let your ads run for about 2 days. If your click-through rate is under 2%, and this is kind of a magic number with Facebook. Google, you don't really know, but with Facebook, based on all the testing and everything that we've read, if your click-through rate is under 2%, then that could be a problem. Eventually, they will start to throttle your ads, they won't show as much, and it could affect your entire campaign. So watch those ads. If they fall under 2%, you may need to tweak the ad itself to encourage more clicks, or you may need to tweak your targeting which is exactly what we're going to talk about next. And usually, if it's under 2%, it's a targeting issue more than it is an ad issue. So that's the basics of ad writing with Facebook. It's actually a lot simpler than Google because they just don't let you do as much with Google. We're going to talk about some examples later on, but that should be more than enough to get you started to get those first ads written. Remember, the vast majority of the effectiveness of your ad is going to come back to the image that you find. So really search hard for those compelling images. Step two of the Google Facebook, Google, look, I can't keep doing that. Step two of Facebook advertising is targeting. And targeting with Google AdWords, you're going out there and you're selecting keywords that you're going to bid on. With Facebook, the targeting is a little bit different. In fact, there are 10 different ways that Google allows you to target, that Facebook allows you to target their customers. And we're going to go over these one by one, but just look at some of these. You can target by location. You can target by age. You can target by their birthday. So you can say, I want to target people and only show my ad when it's their birthday or 3 days before and after their birthday. You can target them based on sex. Are they male, female? Keywords. This is a biggie. Keywords is kind of like the big wild card of Facebook, and I'm going to show you how those work in just a second. You can target based on somebody's education, both the college they went to and if they went to college. So let's say you want to talk to people who are in college because people, maybe you're selling, you know, a way that, you know, a strategy to make a little extra income. And you figure, hey, college kids are broke. So you're going to create an ad targeted specifically to kids who are in college and say, you know, hey, college kids, here's how to earn an extra $100 a week from your dorm room. Something like that. So targeting people in college or saying, you know, hey, University of Texas graduates, I got an ad the other day because I'm a graduate of the University of Texas at Austin for a specialized commemorative UT license plate where, you know, for that I could put on my car. And they were targeting that to me because I am a University of Texas graduate. So, the targeting, wow, I mean, you can really, really, really get specific. This is kind of a cool one, workplaces. So you can enter company names. So you could target, if you want to advertise to people who work at Google or for people who work at Microsoft, maybe you want to advertise for people who you know a company's doing a lot of layoffs, something like that. Maybe there's a way that you can help them out. Workplaces, I mean, if you use your imagination, there's a lot of ways you can do that. Relationships, this is kind of a cool one. You can advertise for people who are single, who are in a relationship, who are engaged, who are married, and there's actually a new category now that's just called It's Complicated. I don't really know how you would use that, but we're going to talk about some strategy there. Interested in men or women. So, you know, are you looking for men who are interested in women? Are you looking for men who are interested in men? Those kinds of things that may affect your product. The languages that they speak and different types of connections. So you can target users who are connected to different groups, pages, events, all those things. You can also target people who are not connected to specific groups. So maybe you think that they should be connected to a group that you have. This is a great way to fill up groups in Facebook. We're not really going to talk about that because we're talking about, you know, general Facebook advertising for a product, not how to fill up your groups or your page in Facebook. But this is a really, really, really cool – really kind of the biggies in my view are the connections and the keywords. So that's where we're going to spend some time talking about those. But let's talk about all these kind of individually. So location. Location is a biggie. You can target down to the country, and you can even target all the way down to the city itself. So if you're a local advertiser or a local marketer, Facebook is a huge, huge opportunity for you because you can just drill down so closely. But I'm assuming most people aren't doing any kind of local marketing, so we're going to kind of skip by that one. Now, keywords. Remember back whenever I showed you, in fact, I'm going to pause this real quick and I'm going to show you, pull up the example that I showed you of Teresa's profile before so I can give you a sense of how effective this keyword section is. Okay, so you remember this girl? Do you remember Teresa? And remember all of these interests that she put in? How she's interested in rock climbing, Scrabble, long walks on the ceiling. Not really sure what that is. But, you know, she's interested in the band Maroon 5. She likes Star Trek. She likes the Dexter. You know, all of these different movies right here. Interesting books and things like that. So she's given all of this data right here that you now can capitalize. So let's go back to the example before, and I'll show you how we're going to utilize some of this. So I'm just going to pause it again and go back to the slide before, and I'll show you how we're going to use all this handy data that Teresa's given us. Okay, we're back. Now, if you recall, Teresa said that she was interested in Star Trek. Now, you know, why would you want to sell somebody some, you know, why would you want to target people interested in Star Trek? Maybe you've got a science fiction related product. Maybe you just want to make a bold assumption that if somebody's interested in Star Trek, they're probably, you know, not getting a lot of dates, and so you want to target a dating product just to Trekkies. Something like that. Who knows? I don't know why you would want to do it, but the opportunity is there. I can tell you one example that we've done in the movies category when the movie 300 was out. I don't know if you've seen the movie 300, but it was a big, big deal from a fitness perspective because you had all these guys in this movie 300 that were just ripped, and there were a ton of guys out there who wanted to get ripped like the guys were in the movie 300. And so what we did is we set up a Facebook campaign, and we targeted guys who were interested in the movie, who had the movie 300 in their interests, and we showed up an ad that where we sold the 300 workout, the same workout that that people in the movie 300 used to get ripped, and it worked really, really well for a period of time after that movie had come out. So keywords, whether they're movies, TV shows that people are in, books, think about for a second, what if somebody had put in said that they were really interested in the book Think and Grow Rich. Do you think you could sell them a product that's related to personal development? Sure, you probably could. What if somebody said that they were interested in The Apprentice? Are they somebody who's interested in business? Very likely. So all these things, and we're going to talk about how you stack these different things on top of one another, but these are all different data assets that you can use as a Facebook advertiser. And here's the really neat thing. So I might have thought, you know, I really want to advertise to people who are, you know, interested in Star Trek. But then Facebook is kind enough to suggest some additional terms, Trek, Babylon 5, Voyager. These are all things that I never would have thought about had they not suggested them. So when you put keywords in here, they're going to make additional suggestions for you that's really going to expand your search and broaden it out again. Not all of them are going to be relevant, but a lot of them are. Now, connections. I talked about keywords and connections as being kind of the two really, really biggies when you're setting these things up. So the connections can be fans of any of your pages, users of any of your applications, of groups, and attendees of events. So you can target, and I talked about this example before, if there is a group that is related to, you know, that like a particular book or that likes a particular movie or that, you know, that this group is around a particular association. You know, maybe there's a group in Facebook for the Association of Pet Sitters, and you sell a product that helps pet sitters be more profitable or something like that, then obviously you would want to target that group. But the number of groups out there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of groups out there and pages related to Facebook, and as an advertiser, you could say, I only want the people who identify with this group, who identify with this page, who have downloaded this application. It's a really, really cool variable that you're able to do in your testing. Relationships. This is one that may or may not be relevant to you, but you know, if you're selling any product that's related to marriage, this could be a biggie. I knew a guy who sold a wedding guide, and all he did was target engaged girls between the ages of 18 and I believe it was 28 was what he found was his sweet spot was. That was his only variable. I want, you know, engaged girls between 18 and 28, and then he offered them a book. And it sold, you know, really, really, really well. Here's an advertiser who is advertising, and they would probably actually would want to advertise to men who are engaged. But you can see here, custom engagement rings. Build your girlfriend a handmade engagement ring. Now, if this were me, I would say fiance to speak the language a little bit better. But who's this person advertising to? They're probably advertising to engaged men, probably between the ages of, I mean, if it's a custom engagement ring, they're probably not advertising to 18-year-olds because 18-year-olds probably can't afford it. So they might be advertising engaged men between the ages of, you know, 25 to 50. Something like that. And you know, we'll talk about when we get into testing how you can go back in and you can you know, Google or Facebook will tell you who's clicking on your ads. So you can say, huh, people in the 25 bracket aren't clicking on my ads, so I'm going to stop showing them and I'm going to go from just 30 to 50. It's really, really, really cool, all the different data that Google shows. And we'll talk about this in the advanced category. So when we get to the advanced section, you'll see how we can pare that down a little bit more. But here's an example of how you would use the relationships. Now, if you were selling a dating product, obviously, you know, you might want to target the it's complicated category. So, you know, is your relationship complicated? Find out how to fix it, those kinds of things. Age. Age is another thing that you can target in Facebook, and this is going to make a lot of sense for some products and services, and it won't really make sense for others. One of the big things that I want to show you, though, about age is look at this piece of the pie. And you can see this is a fairly recent study that was done, but if you look right here, this piece, a lot of people think that Facebook is just for the very young. Check this out. Over 30% of Facebook users now are between the ages, are basically 35 and over. 30%. And that market is growing very, very, very rapidly. Yes, you know, the 18 to 30 to 30-something market, this is always going to be, you know, the biggest part of the Facebook thing. But this piece of the pie right here is one of the fastest growing. So if you think that your product or your service isn't going to relate to Facebook because, oh, you know, my people are in their 50s, think again. It absolutely can. Birthday targeting. This is a really, really, really cool thing that Facebook allows you to do. And this will work for almost any product that you're selling. So let's say you sell a product that is kind of a cool, you know, maybe it's a cool gadget or it's a cool widget that somebody would want that they, you know, would love to buy for themselves but normally don't. Or maybe you sell massage services or things like that on a local level. You might run an ad for somebody on their birthday where you say, hey, it's your birthday. Why not treat yourself to this? And you can go out there and target somebody, you know, the day before their birthday, the day of their birthday, the day after their birthday, the 3 days before and after their birthday. That's kind of the range that Facebook gives you. But you know, I mean, it's almost like you're reading their minds. You know, they know it's their birthday coming up, and you get to show them ads that's just related to it being their birthday. And you could have this campaign running all the time. Now, you may be thinking, oh, yeah, but how often, you know, it's only people's birthday once a year. Well, here's the cool thing about it. Over a million Facebook users are having a birthday every single day. So if all you wanted to do was advertise based on this, if you didn't say, I don't care about country, I don't care about age, I don't care about sex, I don't care about keywords, I don't care about anything, and I only want to advertise to people who are having a birthday today, you would be advertising to over a million people. That should give you some sense of the scope of Facebook. I mean, it's really a lot of people. And birthday targeting, again, a lot of these things require you to use your imagination a little bit. But if you will use your imagination, apply it to your product, you can really drill down quite, quite well. We talked about education a good bit. You can target, like I said, based on whether they're in college now or the college that they went to. You can even target their major. So if you know that somebody, you know, graduated from, let's say, I mean, I got a lot of friends who graduated with history degrees, and this is no, you know, not trying to slam history majors or anything like that, but let's say that you set up campaigns for everybody who is in college and they're a history major, or people who are a college grad and they're a history major, and you run an ad that's something like, you know, history major, having a hard time finding a job, something like that, because, you know, again, I'm not trying to knock history majors, but I've got a bunch of them, and they simply are having a hard time finding a job. So there's a lot, that's just kind of one idea, but there's a lot of things that you could do there. Here's another cool thing that you could do. See right here where it says graduation years? So if somebody's graduating between 2011 and 2012, let's say you want to target somebody's 10-year high school reunion. So you could figure out when they graduated from high school, mark their graduation back 10 years, and show ads to everybody. Maybe you want to show a fitness ad to somebody because you know it's their 10-year reunion's coming up. It's been 10 years since they graduated. And so you can run an ad that says, 10-year reunion coming up? You know, why not lose 10 pounds before your reunion? Click here to find out how. See how this can work? I mean, if you use your imagination, the possibilities really are endless. Now, sex, male, female, that's one of the most obvious ones. And again, for some people, it's, you know, it's going to make perfect sense to run an ad that's related to, male or female. Some people it's not. Here was an interesting one that I saw that was just so bizarre I had to show it as an example. Give the gift of family. California Cryobank is seeking anonymous donors. What do you think these guys are donating? There's kind of a little bit of example. Anyway, I think it's interesting, though, the word sperm is not in here anywhere, probably because that would be considered vulgar. Even though it's a medical term, it's not in here anywhere. So there's an example of even a medical phrase having to kind of pull it out of the ad because Facebook is so restrictive in what they allow you to target. But here's a case where this particular advertiser would absolutely positively only want to target men. They would not want to target women for obvious reasons. But, you know, they got a good headline. They've got a photo that's definitely going to be attention getting for most guys. And, there you go. Workplace. This is one of the ones that we've talked about a little bit already. So you can target people who work at particular companies. You know, and it can just be as simple as maybe you want to target a workplace for Dell. So you put in an ad for Dell and you say, you know, attention Dell employees, 50% discount this week on X product. You know, and you could go around and just offer discounts on your product to just major employers across the country. Is it necessarily directly relevant? No, but I mean, if you come up with a good reason why, a good story, then it might make sense and it might be really, really effective. So those are all the different ways that you can target, but the big point that I want to get across to you is that it's not about just targeting one way. It's not about just selecting men. It's not about just selecting age. It's not about just selecting keywords or just selecting connections. It's about layering these forms of targeting on top of one another. So that you get men between the ages of 18 and 35 who have Think and Grow Rich as their favorite book, who have the Ferrari as their favorite car. You know, all these things added together tell you a lot about an individual person that just a book as a keyword alone may not. So multi-layering all these things on top of one another is how you drill down, and that's how you lower your costs, reduce the waste, and increase your conversions. But you don't want to take it too far. Now, one of the things that Facebook is really, really great about doing for you is they give you an estimate of how many people you're going to target based on the selections that you've made. So in this case, you know, we've made a selection of people who live in the United States, who are over the age of 18, and who work at Google and Microsoft. At that point, Facebook is telling us that we would be targeting 50,020 people. So not a bad group. In fact, 50,000 is kind of the lowest that we would want to go. But what's fascinating about Facebook is when you first get started, this number right here is going to be around 400 million people that they're saying that you can target. And as you make different selections and move on down, this number is going to get lower and lower and lower and lower until eventually you say, whoa, okay, so, you know, we've got all these people targeted, but whenever I made it, you know, Google or Microsoft, it just dropped too much. So I'm gonna ditch this one and I'm gonna do some other selects. So they give you good estimates and they tell you kind of how you're moving along, but you don't want to take it too far. You can drill down to where you're only targeting just a handful of people, and that's not really worth doing either. It's not worth going through the effort of creating an ad to target, you know, literally just a couple hundred folks. Typically, the rule of thumb that we like to go at when we're doing some initial targeting is I don't like to go below 50,000 people at first. I don't like to go below a $50,000 estimate, a 50,000 person estimate, unless I'm really creating a super specific campaign. So I may have a general campaign where, you know, again, let's use the example of the fitness business. I'm going to show you this as kind of a live setup example before, but the fitness business, you know, we're targeting men and women who want to lose weight. Well, that's only about everybody, right? So we're going to look for ways to drill down, but I would never want to drill down below this $50,000 person level. Unless I might run a specialized campaign where I said, you know, I want to target women between the ages, you know, or maybe I want to target women who are turning 30 and it's their birthday today. And maybe I want to run a specific ad to them where I say, you know, hey, you're turning 30. You know, now's as good a time as any to shed those extra pounds. In that case, you know, there may be less than 50,000 people because I'm targeting such a select group, and you definitely want to do that. But for your broader, more general campaigns, when you're just getting started out, I recommend that you don't go below that 50,000 person mark. That's going to allow you to get some good testing in relatively quickly. Now, the targeting rule of thumb number two, and we talked about this already a little bit, it's worth reiterating. If click-through rate is below 2%, then you really need to tighten your targeting. Okay, so if you let it run for a day or two and your click-through rate is below 2%, I want you to go back to your targeting, and maybe that number is 200,000 people. I want you to try to push that number down by targeting it a little more closely. And we're going to show you when we get to the advanced section how to look at the data and how to see, you know, who's clicking on your ads and who isn't. So Facebook is actually quite helpful in telling you really how to narrow it down and how to broaden. But again, we're going to get to all that in the advanced section. All right, so we've talked about ad running, we've talked about targeting. Now let's talk about bidding and budgets. For a daily budget, this is fairly simple. I'm going to recommend that you start kind of low. Starting around 50 or maybe 100 bucks is a good starting place if you're just getting started. Just remember, these are daily budgets. So if the idea of spending $50 in a day on advertising makes you really, really, really nervous, then don't put 50 in here, okay? Don't put 50 in here or monitor it very, very closely. But just kind of keep that at a reasonable level. You can always lower it. You can always increase it later. I can tell you that Facebook isn't like Google in that Google, if you don't put a fairly high daily budget, they're not going to show you at all. If you put a daily budget of 10 bucks, if the inventory is there and you're bidding correctly for your cost per click, then Facebook will go ahead and show you even if you have a fairly low budget. So don't be afraid to put in a low budget. I do recommend when you're first getting started, you know, just run your ads continuously. There's probably no need to do any specific dates or times unless that makes sense for you, and you'll know if it does. You may eventually want to ratchet it down to where you're only running your ads during the day, so you're not running it during the evening, especially if you're just targeting people in a particular country. So if I'm targeting people who are in the U.S. and Canada only, I'm not interested in targeting anybody in Europe or Asia or anything like that, then I may want to just have my ads run during the day and not during the evenings. But for now, run the ads continuously, let them go and see where it goes. Now, I'm going to recommend, they give you the option of paying per impression, meaning you pay every time your ad is shown. Whether they click on it or not, you pay, or paying for clicks. I'm going to recommend that you always start out on a cost per click basis, on a pay per click basis. It's a lot safer. You can eventually get lower effective cost per clicks by paying per impression if you got a really, really, really high click-through rate. You know, if your click-through rate's 5, 6, 7%, then it may make sense to pay for impression. But for the most part, and certainly when you're first getting started, when you're just doing your testing, you do want to pay per click. Now, Facebook is kind enough to give you suggested bids, and you know, you can imagine, like Google, these suggested bids are in their favor. I mean, they if they had it their way, they would want you to bid as high as possible. But in my experience, these suggested bids are relatively good. So if you're pretty aggressive, then you may want to fall within this range. Typically, what we do when we're first getting started out, and my recommendation to people when they're first getting started out, especially if money is tight, I'm going to recommend that you take this number here, this highest high that they give you. So the highest suggested bid, in this case, it is 36 cents. I'm sorry, 63 cents. There's my dyslexia kicking in. 63 cents. And divide that by 2, and that's where I'm going to suggest that you start. That'll give you a decent, typically if you take the highest one divided by 2, you're going to get some traffic. If you go too much lower than that, you know, if you go and you put in 5 cents or 10 cents, when they're selecting that you bid 60 or 70 cents, you're probably not going to get any traffic at all. But I found that if we take the highest high, divide it by 2, then we're going to get some traffic, at least enough to get a decent test. Now, they will give you an estimate on how many clicks per day you can expect to receive based on your bid. In my experience, this is not particularly accurate. It may get more accurate as time moves on, but sometimes I'll put in a suggested bid. In this case, the suggested bid amount is 52 cents. 52 cents to 63 cents is their suggested bid. So they give you a fairly tight, you know, it's only 11 cent range there. I've gone through and I've typed in 52 cents. And then I've moved it all the way up to 63 cents. And whenever I selected the highest amount, my bid estimate actually went down. Now, that doesn't make any sense. Why, if you were willing to pay more, would they say that you're going to get less clicks? It just, in my experience, this right here is not that valid. So don't worry about it too much. Again, the two places that I start, I'll either pick a range somewhere between this. If you're aggressive, go ahead, go for the high range. Open it up. So pick a range somewhere in there, or take the highest high, divide it by two, and start there. Now, we talked about cost per click. Again, the other option is to pay on a CPM basis. You can try that, but only try that if you're getting a really high cost per click, and if you're not, you know, and if you're finding that you can get much better suggested bids on a CPM. Now, remember that you're not bidding on 24 to 29 cents per impression. It's 24 to 29 cents per thousand impressions. So literally, when you're bidding, you're paying fractions of a penny for your ad to appear. So, I mean, that's cool, right? I mean, you're just paying very, very, very small amounts for your ad to appear, and your ad can get clicked on. You can have a 20% cost per click. I'm sorry, a 20% click-through rate, and you won't pay any more. So that's why if you do have an incredibly high click-through rate, it can make sense to pay on impression. But for the most part, you're going to find that paying per click is the best way to go. All right, so getting back to the bidding rule of thumb, my recommendation, bid half of the highest recommended amount for 2 days, and then the highest recommended amount for 2 days to determine your return on investment range. And I really like to do this because, again, if you bid half of the highest recommended amount, you're going to get some traffic. That's going to be the low end of the traffic, but it's very, very rare that you're going to get no traffic whatsoever, right? You're going to get some traffic. So that'll kind of give you a sense of, you know, here's what I'm not getting a lot of sales, but I'm not spending a lot. So that's one end of the spectrum. The opposite end of the spectrum, where you bid the highest amount that they recommend, you're getting a lot of traffic and hopefully you're getting a lot of sales. And then you just run a simple calculation. Which one is more profitable for you? So, I mean, there's no real, you know, formula for that, but that's a way to get what we call the ROI range. Bidding half of the highest recommended for 2 days and the highest recommended for 2 days. You look at the two, you see where you're going to be better off, and it may be somewhere in the middle. It may be, by the way, that you have a really high ROI at bidding the highest, in which case you may want to try bidding even higher than their recommended amount. Doesn't happen often, but it can. But this, at least, after 4 or 5 days, you'll get a good sense of kind of where you stand and if this is going to work or if you need to go back and redo your targeting. So again, here's an example. I know we talked about this a lot. It's probably worth berating, but in this case, the suggested bid range was 52 cents to 63 cents. So we would bid 32 cents for 2 days. That's about half if you round up of 63 cents, and then 63 cents for the next two days. That would give us our ROI range, and we'd make a determination from there. But the final step that needs to be discussed in the Facebook Ad Power system is we need to talk about your landing pages, because like everything else with Facebook advertising, landing pages are going to be a little bit different and they are going to matter. Now, here's kind of the good news. Technically, Facebook will allow you to send traffic to any landing page as long as it doesn't violate their terms of service. This includes sales letters and squeeze pages. So if you want to drive traffic directly from your Facebook ad to a long-form sales letter, which Google right now basically they're saying no. They're not allowing it. While it's not a violation of their terms of service, it gets slapped. People are getting accounts banned. The same is true with squeeze pages. If you don't do those the right way, campaigns are getting slapped left and right. In Facebook, that's not the case. Pretty much as long as your page doesn't have pop-ups or anything to do with gambling, porn, hate, malware, you know, all the usual suspects that nobody lets you advertise if you're doing, Facebook's okay with it. With that being said, though, the reality is long-form sales letters and kind of blind squeeze pages just don't work that well in Facebook. And the reason is, remember this, everyone gets a vote. So if your ad is sending people to a long-form, hypey sales letter, you know, warning, you know, here's how to make $1 million-$1 billion overnight, or, you know, attention, anybody who wants to, you know what I'm talking about. The kind of spammy, scammy, hypey sales letters and sales processes just do not work in Facebook. People go to Facebook to escape those kinds of things. So when they show up in Facebook, they react and respond swiftly. And they really, people who are You know, and maybe you, and it, you know, if you're an avid Facebook user, you may have experienced this yourself. But people who are big in Facebook, and I'm not talking about marketers, I'm talking about people like your, you know, your brother and your cousin and the people you went to high school with. Those, you know, quote unquote normal people who aren't marketers, they are very protective of the Facebook space. And if somebody, if some, you know, evil marketer tries to step in and profit using spammy, scammy techniques, they're going to be very quick to hit the back button and then click on this Xbox, and they're probably going to be quick to cite something based on misleading or offensive, even if your ad is okay. We've run ads before that were okay, but because we were sending traffic to a long-form sales letter with a hypey headline, we still got, and it was the most benign ad you've ever seen, but people still came back and they clicked the X and they disapproved our ad. So that's why, although you can, and this is probably why Facebook allows it. You know, Facebook's like, yeah, sure, you can send traffic to, you know, squeeze pages. Sure, you can send traffic to sales letter. Our community is going to come out and smack you for it, but you can do it if you want to. And that's, this is probably why they do it, because they know their community is going to protect it. So let's talk about landing pages that do work really, really well. Number one, and this is probably the safest way of all to go, is to send your Facebook ad traffic to an internal Facebook page. Now, this might be a Facebook fan page. This might be a Facebook group. You might be running a poll of some sort. I mean, you can set up Facebook fan pages for almost anything. You can set them up for products. You can even sell. You can generate leads off of Facebook pages. There are ways to go in and manipulate the HTML and add opt-in forms into Facebook pages. So you can do a lot within a Facebook page, and it is highly trusted by the Facebook users. If they leave an ad and they go to another page and they're still within the Facebook interface, there's a lot of trust that goes along with that. The downside is that extra trust factor, right now at least, isn't overcoming the loss of control. Because when you send somebody from your ad to a Facebook page, they're still sitting in there within their Facebook interface. They can easily click on the profile page. You just don't have as much control over the sales process as you need to get the conversions where they need to be, at least in our experience, to make Facebook advertising work. So I've heard a lot of people, and you're probably going to hear a lot of people suggest also, you know, that you really need to send your Facebook ads, ad traffic to Facebook pages. You know, I'll just be upfront and honest. We haven't found this to be the most effective strategy, although from a landing page perspective and what works the best, just from a trust factor and people liking it, this is definitely a good way to go. Now, another option is to employ what we call the sandwich page. And I'm going to show you an example of a sandwich page before, but basically, it allows you to give value without slowing up the sales process. So here's kind of how it works. People start out over here on Facebook. So they're on Facebook. They click on your ad, which takes them over to the sandwich page. Now, the sandwich page is a very short form page that has some content that really what it does is it delivers on the promise that was made in the ad. So remember how we talked about, and so that we're kind of coming full circle now, all the way back in the ad, I talked about how one of the best ads, the title or the headline asks a question, and the answer to that question is promised in the ad copy, and then the answer is actually given and answered on the landing page. Well, this is what I'm referring to. I'm referring to right here to this sandwich page. So it's not a squeeze page. It's not requesting additional information. It's just a page. I'm going to show you an example in just a second where it's sent from your ad to this page, and then people click off of this page, and then they go over to the sales letter. So that's how the sandwich page works. And the third type of landing page that we use effectively is what I call the info squeeze page. And the info squeeze page is like a sandwich page, but you're gathering some basic information. You just need to adjust your copy. So instead of promising them a report or something like that, the best example I can give for this, and I'll show you an example of this in just a second, are calculators and polls and things like that. But I'll show you an example of an info squeeze page. First, I want to show you, here's an example of taking an ad to an internal Facebook page. So this is a guy who advertises, he does this stand-up surfing, basically, stand-up paddleboarding. And it's apparently a big thing in Austin. And so because I live in Austin, Texas, he's advertising to me. And he's advertising, you can see here, become a fan. So they're trying to get people to click on their ad and to go over to their fan page and to become a fan. That is the purpose of this ad. That's what they want them to do. Since this is a fan page that they can control, they could actually, over here in this area, they could have an opt-in box. So they could collect people's email right over here. They could do that. This page right in here, there could be a headline and some additional copy, and they could have a sales letter in here. You could do that on a Facebook fan page, but you would still have the ads would still be there, the home and the profile links and all that. They would still be able to receive messages over here when the chat popped up. All that would still happen because it's still within the Facebook interface. So is it effective? Yes, it absolutely can be effective, but it's not the most effective strategy that we've found. This is the most effective strategy that we found. And here's an example of one of our ads. We've got a product that is related to horse cribbing, which if you don't own a horse and you've never owned a horse, you probably don't know what that is, but cribbing is a common condition that affects a lot of horses. It can be very, very dangerous, and it affects a large number of horses, and we sell a product that actually helps to remedy horse cribbing. So here's an example of the ad. You can see here, again, remember the format that we talked about. The headline asks a question, and that's exactly what it's doing here. The headline asks the question, why do horses crib? And you can see here, this picture is incredibly eye-catching. I realize that it's kind of small and you probably can't see it, but it's a picture of a horse's mouth, and the teeth are all messed up. They have these horrible things in them called cribbing rings that just, it looks very, very painful, and it's one of the solutions to horse cribbing that we're really trying to provide an alternative for. But so it's got a title that asks a question, why do horses crib? It's got an image that's instantly going to grab. And I mean, you know, we talked about smiling faces being a grabber. This isn't exactly a smiling face, but it is very visceral. I mean, if you're a horse owner and you see this, you can tell that this horse is probably not very happy. They're probably in somewhat of pain. You're going to be looking at it. And then the body copy reads, horse cribbing is dangerous. Find out what causes it in the next 30 seconds, plus what you can do about it. Click now. So there you go. The format is, the headline asks a question. The picture grabs the attention. The body copy promises an answer. And again, the best type of thing, find out what causes it in the next 30 seconds. So it's very, very specific. We're promising to tell you what causes horse cribbing on the next page. So now the only issue is, what we don't want to do is send people directly from this ad to a sales letter, because we have promised to tell them in the next 30 seconds that we're going to tell them what causes horse cribbing. So that's exactly what they do. When they click on it, we then send them over here, and here is the sandwich page. So again, you can see a sandwich page is nothing more than a very, very short form content page. And again, the content is only, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs. That's it. But we promise to answer the question, what causes horse cribbing? Horses crib to get high. Here's the surprise. Horses crib to get high. Yep. When horses bite down and suck in wind, they're in effect creating an altered state, sort of like paint huffers or people who sniff glue. So there you go. For a horse owner that has a cribbing horse but didn't know what was causing it, we've now taught them, we've given them some information. We have had what we like to call an effective first transaction. So although no money was exchanged hands, we made a promise on the previous page. We made a promise to tell them what causes horse cribbing. And then here on the sandwich page, because we call it a sandwich page again because it's sandwiched between the ad and the sales process. So here on the sandwich page, we are fulfilling that promise. So we've had an effective first transaction. We promised, hey, if you click on this link, we're going to tell you why horses crib. They clicked on the link. We're now telling them why horses crib. We've raised the trust factor just a little bit, and now we're saying down here, you can see here's the call to action. To learn more about how to stop your horse from cribbing, click on the link below for a free video. So then they click on the link below, and they go over to our sales letter, which I'll go ahead and show you, is right here. So if we were to send people straight from the ad over here to stop cribbing fast, is it relevant? Sure. But we promised to tell them, we promised to give them some information, so we need to fulfill on that. But because the magic of the sandwich page is because it's such a short form page, it doesn't slow the buying process any. Okay? So these sandwich pages, providing the buffer, and that's really what you need on Facebook. Again, nobody came to Facebook looking for something to buy. People came to Facebook because it is a social experience. So if you take people directly from that social experience straight to a sales experience, it's not going to work. There needs to be a buffer in between, and it's the sandwich page that provides the buffer. So you take them from a social experience, there's an ad that appears that's relevant to them, that ad promises some additional information that's interesting to them, they click on the link to get the information, they get the information on the sandwich page, they find the information interesting, they find it helpful, and then they find that for even more information, they can click over to your page. Now you've filtered them. You've taken them from a social aspect over into a buying mode. And actually the inclusion of this has been found to increase conversions when done correctly. Now the way to screw up a sandwich page is to send people to a page and instead of it being 4 or 5 or 6 paragraphs or a 2 or 3 to 5 minute video, you send them to a page where there's a 2 hour long video and they never have a chance to consume it. With the sandwich page, the trick to a sandwich page and making it work, especially from Facebook, is it needs to be consumed with literally in under 5 minutes. So whether they're reading it or whether they're watching a video, they need to be able to consume the sandwich page concept, the sandwich page content in less than 5 minutes. And again, then you're able to take them over to the final sales page where they have an opportunity to buy. So if you're going to remove them from the social environment, the safe social environment of Facebook, you need to have that buffer in there. Now, I promised to show you an example of an info squeeze page just so you knew what that was. Here's one that we use in our business. I've shown it as examples before. If you've gone through some of our other trainings, you've probably seen it. But basically, it's a metabolism calculator. So we would have an ad where we tell people, hey, you can calculate your metabolism for free. Find out what your resting metabolic rate is. So in the ad, we promise to tell them what their resting metabolic rate is. We're not trying to sell them anything in the ad. They get to this page and they find out, oh, not trying to sell me anything here either. It's just a calculator. Notice, we're not even asking for their email address. That's why it's an info squeeze page. We're just trying to squeeze information out of them. We're not trying to squeeze their email address. But again, all this is done. This is similar to a squeeze page. All this is a buffer. It's just a buffer. Because when people click on what's my resting metabolic rate, that's when we give them the results, and that's when we show them our sales message. So this is the process that you need to follow. It is a three-step process when you're going from Facebook. Yes, sure, if you want to, you can test sending traffic straight from a Facebook ad to a squeeze page, or straight from your Facebook ad to a sales letter. You can test it. You can try it. Maybe you'll find out that it works. In our experience, eventually those ads start getting downgraded. You start getting shown less and less and less, and the whole thing kind of crumbles. You're not building it on a good foundation. You need to recognize that this is a different media than anything else that you have used before. It is different from Google. Yes, I realize that it has some keyword targeting aspects. Yes, I realize that it is pay-per-click, but it is not Google. They don't come to Facebook looking to buy, so you need to have some kind of buffer to transition them from the social, friendly, fun-loving aspect of Facebook over to the sales aspect that's where you ultimately want them to be so you can make some money. Now, to kind of close out this basic training, I want to show you an anatomy of a good Facebook campaign. It's not great. It's not perfect. I'm going to talk about some of the areas where I believe it could be improved, but I wanted to show you an example all the way through of a good ad, a good landing page, and a good sales message. So here's an ad that appeared in my Facebook page. Now, the only reason I can think that this ad would have appeared to me is that I live in Austin, Texas. I don't have anything in my profile that's related to green or, you know, alternative energy or anything that would suggest that this ad should appear. So one of the first mistakes that I believe that they made, I mean, I appreciate them showing it to me, but one of the first mistakes that I believe they made is it wasn't particularly targeted well. They probably should have drilled down a little bit more and not just targeted people who live in Austin, Texas. You know, yes, Austin, Texas is a fairly progressive town. Yes, it is very green-minded, but not everybody who lives in Austin, Texas, who's on Facebook, who's, you know, a male between the ages of, you know, over 18, I don't know the exact things that they did, but not all of them are going to be interested in going green and doing things with solar energy. So the targeting was a bit off. It definitely could be improved. You know, selecting people in Austin, Texas may be good, but you may also want to select people in Austin, Texas who, you know, have a I forget the movie that Al Gore did on global an Inconvenient Truth. That's it. Okay, so here would be a good example. They could have just advertised to people who were fans of the movie An Inconvenient Truth, because those are obviously people who are very into green and alternative energy. So from a targeting standpoint, decent, but definitely not great. From a headline standpoint, it's okay. Go green, solar energy. I like that it's specific. I would rather it had asked the question, you know, so, you know, do-it-yourself solar power, or something like that. The image, I believe, is actually a little weak. You know, I mean, it's an image of solar panels, but it's not particularly engaging. It's not particularly eye-grabbing. In fact, I don't really know what this is. I've expanded it right here, but when it's small, kind of the only thing you can make out is this one right here, and I don't necessarily even realize that it's a solar panel. I definitely don't know what the heck all this stuff down here is. So this is a big mistake that a lot of Facebook advertisers make, is they want to put an image in, and they'll just put an image of their product, or they'll put an image of their logo. Don't do that. That is a huge, huge, huge waste of space. And this person absolutely could have done a better job. Heck, if they had just had a picture of a solar panel with a picture of a, you know, a pretty girl with a really nice smile, that would have been more engaging, because studies have been shown that pretty girls with nice smiles are engaging both to men and to women. Nobody likes to look at dudes with nice smiles, by the way. So that right there would have been an improvement. So really, you know, I would give this picture right here, you know, maybe a 2 out of 10. The body copy is not bad at all. How to, tips, advice, product reviews, and recommendations. It does at least promise some content. I would like for it to be a little more specific. It's really kind of lacking in specificity. I mean, imagine if instead it said, you know, free blueprint on how to build your own solar panel. You know, that would be a lot more specific. But all in all, not just a terrible ad. I can tell you this, they probably don't get, you know, too many people clicking on it who aren't interested. I mean, if you click on this ad, it's probably because you're definitely interested in solar power. So that's step one, the ad. Now let's see where they take us afterwards. On step two, they do actually implement a sandwich page of sorts, in a content page. In this case, they're sending folks to a blog. And what a blog has going for it is it's very, very, very credible. Most people, when they think about blogs, they think information. And this does have a fair bit of information. You can see it's got a blog post up here, you know, DIY solar hot water, cheap and easy, exclusive tips on home energy saving, save up to 50%. So it's got some decent articles, and you can see what it does that is smart, and where it kind of, although there's a lot of different articles down here, every single one of them is only 3 to 4 paragraphs. So you can see this little article right here is 1, 2, you know, 3, if you can even call that one a paragraph, and then they say click here. Now, where do you think that link takes you? That link takes you, that's right, over to a sales letter, as, incidentally, does this banner ad. So they've got a banner ad and links all directing over to sales letters. Now, for my money, I would never in a million years put Google AdSense on, you know, on a site where I'm trying to drive affiliate traffic. Maybe they tested it and found that it, you know, doesn't affect sales. I can't imagine that they make money by having Google AdSense there. But, you know, to each his own. I don't know this person. I don't know their business. For all I know, they're making a killing off of this. But that, to me, strikes me as a no-no. The thing that's smart, and the point that I'm trying to get across to you, is that they are actually, this is kind of a modified sandwich page. It's almost like there's a lot of mini sandwich pages in one. But they do promise on some of the information that they suggested back in the ad. So that they're sending people over here, they're taking it from Facebook over here to this buffer page. Could it be better? Yeah, it certainly could be better, but they do at least have a buffer page in there, and the click here, And this image right here takes folks over to a sales letter. So now they're 2 clicks in. They're far more likely to be open and interested in what people are selling. In this case, The marketer is sending folks over here to a sales letter. This is just a ClickBank product, and they're an affiliate for it. So this is a good strategy. If you don't have your own product, you can absolutely still implement these Facebook ad secrets. I mean, there's no reason that you can't. You can go out there and sell other people's products and other people's information, because once you understand how to implement the buffer, the buffer pages that we're talking about, sandwich pages, info squeeze pages, things like that, you can utilize Facebook, whereas a lot of folks who go out there and try to sell their own products, they'll never figure it out, because they're going to want to try to drive traffic straight from their ad to a sales letter like this, and that just isn't going to work. So there's an example of a fairly well done. Again, I would give it maybe a 6 or a 7 out of 10, but it's got a lot of the right elements there, so you can see, you know, how easy this can be to do. And if you don't have a product of your own, you can see that just by building and implementing a simple, you know, blog with some basic content that leaks over to the through your affiliate link, that can be a great way to get started with Facebook advertising. So before we move on to the advanced stuff, because remember, this is just the basic training. This is just kind of showing you how to get everything set up. We also have another training where I'm going to walk you through step by step the setup of a campaign, so you can see that done in real time. And in the advanced training, we're going to show you a lot of additional steps and secrets and things like that to implementing Facebook ad power. But before we do that, just kind of a quick reminder. Number one, create simple direct ads that pose a question. So in the beginning, keep it simple, keep it direct, and I recommend that you ask a question in your ad. And target down tight at first, and then let Facebook show you how to go broader. So target down tight, you know, get that number, like I said, around the 50,000 mark. And there's nothing magic to that. You know, you may want to start a little bit broader. Maybe you want to start a little bit lower. That's just a number that we found works well for us. But target down tight at first, and then go broader. That can be a lot, especially in the beginning. Go in the opposite direction where you go broad and tighten down is a great way to waste a lot of money. Multi-layer your different variables and craft your landing page to it. So if you know that you're advertising just to men, then don't send people to a landing page that is for men and women. Create a landing page that is targeted just to men. And if you're doing another ad that's targeted just at women, then create a specific landing page just for them. You don't need to do it in terms of quality score like you do with Google or anything like that. It just will increase your conversions. You'll do a lot better if the person clicks on the ad and says, oh, wow, this page is absolutely targeted to me. Set your daily budgets low at first. We talked about that. And test your bidding for 2 days at half the high and 2 days at the high. So 2 days at half of the high recommendation and 2 days at the high, that'll give you your ROI range. And watch very closely if your cost per click drops lower than 2%, you really want to move into action. You want to tighten your targeting. You may want to increase your bids a little bit so you show a little bit higher. You may want to come up with test some different images. But if that cost per click gets lower than 2% and stays lower than 2%, eventually Facebook will stop showing your ad. That's one thing that we found across the board in multiple tests and has been confirmed by a lot of other Facebook advertisers we know. 2% seems to be a magic number. So if you get below it, really work hard on getting above it. Okay, so that does it for the basic section of the training. Now what I want you to do is go in, watch advanced Facebook ad power. It came from another training that I did with a friend of mine. I know you're going to get a lot out of it. And, you know, above all else, get started, you know. Start building those campaigns. Start generating some traffic. There's a whole massive untapped piece of traffic out there waiting for you to go in and start funneling off your share. So I hope that you start doing it today. And when you do, I hope you let me know how it works. Thanks so much, and I'll see you in some of the other trainings.